If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the laws related to Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar, which is the concept of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are going to talk about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, or the laws related to that, and jurisprudential statuses issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, let's start with the very concept, with the very idea of Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar, or enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Is it really obligatory to enjoin the good and forbid the evil?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Enjoining to do obligatory acts or forbidding haram acts is one of the most important and great duties in Islam. People who abandon this great divine duty, and those who are indifferent to this duty, are sinners according to Islam, according to the religious authorities, and based on the teachings that we have in the Quran and also the prophetic traditions. So those people who neglect their duties towards spreading virtue and promoting virtue and also preventing evil will be dealt with severe punishment. In fact, severe punishment awaits them. And so enjoining others to do obligatory acts and forbidding them from haram acts, from haram things, is not only obligatory according to Islam, to Islamic Sharia, according to scholars, according to all scholars of Islam, mm-hmm. but it is also one of the essentials of the religion of Islam. Now, to put it differently, I would say that promoting virtue and preventing evil is one of the clearly defined laws about which there is no doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, we have prayer, we have, for example, fasting, Hajj, yes. Zakat, Khums, and then we have, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. And then we have Tawalla and Tabarra, okay?
Right. So these are the tenets of Islam.
These are the clearly defined tenets about which there is no doubt, no ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And that's why they are called Daruriyat in Arabic terminology, or in Islam, in legal terminology. And Daruriyat means that these are among the clearly defined or unambiguous issues about which there is no doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, let me explain something about the scope of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, you know.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Enjoining others to do obligatory acts or forbidding them from doing haram acts as a duty is not limited to a specific, actually, class or a specific group of people. Rather, it includes all qualified classes and all those who are technically called mukallaf, or duty bound. Mm. Those who are duty bound have to engage in somehow in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Of course, there are certain conditions to be fulfilled. There are certain requirements which must be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. Even if it is obligatory for a woman, I would say that it is, in fact, obligatory for a woman or a child to enjoin, for example, her husband or his, for example, parents, you know, a child, when sees his parents or her parents doing something wrong or doing something bad, it is necessary for the child to forbid them from evil and to promote somehow virtue in the family. So if the conditions are met, these people, the wife and the children, must enjoin those people which I mentioned. And this is an obligation which we must not ignore or violate under any circumstances. It is mandatory and it is obligatory to enjoin good, to beat actually good, and to promote virtue, provided that those specific conditions, which inshallah I will discuss in the following episode, maybe are fulfilled and are met. The obligation of enjoining good and forbidding evil.
Okay, take a short break and then we'll be back, Sheikh Javid, and I ask you actually to explain about the obligation.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Stay with us. Don't go away.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our dear guest speaker in the studio. We are talking about the concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, before the break, you wanted to explain about the obligation of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
I want to say that the obligation of enjoining good and forbidding evil, amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, actually applies to a situation in which a person violates the Sharia law deliberately, knowingly, and of course intentionally. Okay, that's when we see that the person, for example, knows that something is haram and he still does it. For example, he knows that, for example, wine is haram. It is one of the najis or impure things. But despite that, he drinks it. And there are many other evils that people know they are forbidden. But despite that, they commit that. So if a person violates a Sharia law, for example, then intentionally and knowingly, then it becomes obligatory to enjoin him to do good and to forbid him from bad. Okay, if someone forgetfully or maybe ignorantly does something, it's not necessary to enjoin good or forbid the evil. Of course, it's good to tell, to educate such a person, to teach him, to let him know that, okay, certain things are allowed, certain things are forbidden. Now, a question comes up, okay, and that is it, for example, obligatory for someone who has little or no knowledge of the Sharia law or the subject matter? For example, is it obligatory to forbid such people to do good, from bad and enjoin such people to do good? For example, you don't know that, let's say, as an example, that smoking marijuana or marijuana is haram, okay? Right. And because now we see that certain countries have legalized the sale and production of marijuana and
the use
consumption
of,
of such things. Now, a person has no knowledge of the Sharia law. He starts, just like other people, starts using it. Now, is it permissible to forbid such a person or enjoin such a person? Of course, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not necessary, okay? It's not necessary to forbid such a person because he's ignorant, okay?
Right. Sheikh Javid, you know, when it comes to forbidding the evil and enjoining the good, you talked about it related to the question that I asked. I just wanted to ask you again something quite, you know, related to that idea and concept. Well, if it is not necessary or obligatory, in fact, to let's say, forbid the evil or, let's say, which we call it, enjoin the good for an ignorant person. Should we leave that alone, leave at that, and then go about our own business?
Well, we need to differentiate between the subject matter and the Sharia law, okay? You know, in other words, we call it in Arabic hukm and mawdu, okay? When it comes to the Sharia law or the law of the Sharia, it is necessary to guide an ignorant person, to guide him, because there is a difference between guiding someone and leading him to what is correct and what is right,
mm-hmm.
and also forbidding and enjoining someone to do mm-hmm. something. So yes. they are two different things.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to guiding an ignorant person, it is necessary to guide someone to do what is right when it comes to the Islamic right. Sharia law or hukum. But when it comes to the subject or what we call mawdu, of course, it's not necessary to inform someone or to guide someone, okay? For example, if someone doesn't know whether a glass or containing liquid is, let's say, wine, alcohol, or water, we don't need to tell him anything about it, though we know that it is wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not supposed, or it's not necessary for us to guide him in that matter.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice contribution. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو